Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live.
Live
on the Fight Mixer Show.
All right.
Happy Sunday. You're happy alive. Sunday. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, it was really nice.
I'm here with movie producer, actor, fight manager extraordinaire, Mr. Don Culbis. How are you doing today?
I am very, very, very well. I get older, but I still feel good, you know, and that's it. You know, sport keep you young, eh?
Absolutely. So my first question right off the bat is, as a movie producer, as an actor, at having a very successful career, how'd you get involved in mixed martial arts as a manager?
Oh, man, you need 3 hours, eh? You will need 3 hours. You know, in first, I was in rock and roll music in the 60s in France. And I'm being invited in Holland. And when I come in Holland, I was in music business, and through the music business, I meet some friends, and the one had a gym, and he say to me, "Come to my gym." I said, "What are you doing?" "Kickboxing." I said, "What is this?" It was about 1975, something like that. And I come to the gym, and I say, "Oh no, this is nothing for me." But after I practiced 2-3 times, I like it, and I was in the same gym for about 35 years. In Amsterdam, Rick van der Vatter's gym, I was there. So after that, you know, I was the only one speaking French fluently because I'm French born, and English and Dutch. So some Japanese guys, they come to practice in our dojo in Amsterdam. And after that, yeah, okay, they have no place to sleep. They come to sleep 6 months in my house twice. And after that, you know, to thank you, to you know, they invite me later in Japan. So I come in Japan, and I come in the sport of Daidojugu first. And from there, it keep rolling. After that, many fighters was asking me, "Can you be my manager?" And this and that, you know. And I meet also a lot of famous fighters, you know, and beginner fighters. And this is the way I become from the music business to the fighting business. And I'm very proud that I managed all the years the biggest fighter in the world. In kickboxing, like legend, like Ramon Dekkers, alas, he's passed away. Rob Kaman, Perry Ubeda, Ryan Simpson. After that, I become from kickboxing to pancrase, you know. And then I become the manager as well of Bas Rutten, Sammy Shield, Tom Sterling. We had a great Dutch team to go to Japan. And I met Mr. Ozaki. And, you know, I make short, you know, because otherwise I told you it takes 3 hours. So from this, you know, I was in the sport and I make my names and my guys. It was the particular stuff. It was that all the fighters I have, from France, from Japan, from Holland, they stay with me for 10 or 15 years something, but we don't have any contract together. I was checking hands. I tell, "Listen, you fight, you get 80%. I do the rest of the business, I take 20%. And that was it. And never we had any trouble in 20 years, 25 years, you know. So this is the way, this is the part I started in the kickboxing. About the pancreas, in fact, pancreas is something I didn't know. I saw Bas Rutten, don't know that. The first time I remember, we go there. Because in that time, fighters, they don't fight for the big money. We fight for the glory, for, you know, to progress, to find things. So what happened is that with Bass Rutten, I never forget, we come there, and Bass Rutten got about $15 or $2,000 maximum for fight. For a fight you won in few seconds, you know, the first one, I think it was Fouquet, I'm not sure about that, of Yu Chi, you know, but Mr. Ozaki and all the team, Masa Funaki as well, they was very, very impressed, you know. And but I have to say that since we stopped with the old pancreas in Japan, I tried to find a new bash written, like in kickboxing, I tried to find a new Ramon Dekker or Rakaman. I don't find them. I see a lot of good fighters, but they don't have the same charisma and the technique that Bass Rutten had, you know, and all the other fighters, the legend like Rakaman, you know, it was like that. So in fact, in many years when we set up, when we've been in with Pancras in Japan with Ozaki, we've been there so many times. And we've been surprised, Bas and I, that sometime we go Tokyo Dome, but also big hall from about 60,000 people, 50,000 people, and you know, and that's it. But it was a very nice, very great time anyway, you know. So this is the part of this, you know, and yeah. But you know, don't forget that the people like Guy Metzger, because we had American team, we had Australian team, French team, not much, but the Dutch were the strongest. But look over the world, I managed all the biggest fighter in the world in that time, in the 80s and 90s, you know, and yeah, it was great. So right now is different time. But in the time of Pancras, I have to say that it was, We've been all family, you know, you see on this picture. You know, after the fights, for example, Bass fought against Ken Shamrock or Frank Shamrock. After the fight, we go in the city, you know, and we go on discotheque, we go to restaurant, we are friends again, you know. That was Pancras, you know. This is Funaki. So from then, Bass Rutten, after his career, he decided to go to America, and then he been in UFC. I'm very proud about that. Mm-hmm. And this is a picture with the former boss of K1, because I set up the K1 in Japan in 1990 with Mr. Ishii. We was talking about the K1 at that time, mm-hmm. but he wanted to make KKK, you know, just a new organization. I say, no, it's Ku Klux Klan. It's not possible. So after that, it changed. You put K1. You know, K1 is very famous. But for me, all my career, what I did in kickboxing, Thai boxing, anything, for me, the number one was Pancras. Always been and still. So, you know, that's it. How about the movie business? It's something very strange because I've been in Cannes sometime as visitors, you know, and my first American movie was in L.A., downtown. And what happened is I meet some guy in the plane. He wants to change the place in the plane from Amsterdam to Film Festival in Cannes. So he changed the place. He come sitting there, close me. And he say to me, I look his paper. He was looking some paper. I say, are you a movie? He say, yes. And we talk and give my card. I say, I'm martial arts business and all this stuff. And that's it, you know, just like that. But few months later, he called me from L.A. He said, listen, you are managing a lot of fighters. Can you do something for us? I say, what? He said, no, maybe we need some fighters, a big name, you know, and for a movie, you know, and you can be a part of associate producer and this kind of stuff. So I say, okay, so I belong to L.A., and there I did about 80% of the cast, you know. So I take Remy Borski, who was a kickboxing world champion at that time. I call a friend, Don Fry, he wasn't there. Rudy Papper come there. You know, Funaki from Japan with Nishi. So I ask all my friends to come in the movie. So we make the movie Honor. And from that time, it's about 12 years now. I'm still busy in the fighting. I mean, in films and a lot of fighting, some action films, martial arts, all this stuff. And right now I'm working, for example, Killing the Seeds and Jesse. And the one killing the seas, the director is David Worth, the director he make Kickboxer, you know, yeah. Bloodsport, Kickboxer, all this stuff. So, correct. You know, everything keep going. So from music, I jump to the fighting stuff. Now I'm still in fighting, of course, because, you know, our friend Eric Neuhaus, you know, in L.A., mm-hmm. we start a new organization called Her King Multimedia LLC. And we start... We try to get the old punk rock back, you know, something like that. Not will be the same. We are busy to deal with the new punk rock, the new owner, Mr. Sakai, because they take over the old punk rock, the logo and everything. So we are busy to get to see if you can get the rights and everything and to start something like that. But for sure, I am busy now for all Europe, Germany, France, Holland. We go organize all over the world for kickboxing, Thai boxing, MMA, a lot of things. But first, punk rock style, for sure we do it, you know. And if I can get Bas written somewhere, you know, I will do, because Bas is still he's like my son, you know. He's a big brother, you know, and the other guy as well. But I'm very close to Bas Rutten, always been. For 30 absolutely. Years now, you know? Yeah. You know, when he was in Holland, you know, sometime we go somewhere. I go to his home to sleep with his parents. You know, we love French fries and mussels, you know? He like that, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So, Bas and I, we've been always very, very close. But what in America a lot of people don't know is that in Europe we had big champions. I saw I was in the MGM Arena. I saw in Las Vegas with Cameron was there. Our friend Don Dragon Wilson will come to visit us. You know, and Perry Ubeda fought in MGM Arena in 2006 or 2007 against Sakmon Kol from Thailand. And there was in MGM the hall. But, you know, in the morning, you know that all the fighters, they have a control, doctor control and everything. And what happened, I was sitting there. Perry Ubeda, my fighter, he was sitting on my right. On the left, there was a black guy there. I say, oh, he's looking sharp and everything. It was Mayweather. I don't recognize him. So I meet them the next time. So, you know, it was very nice talk. So what happened? The next evening, my fighter, Perry Ubeda, has to fight in the, you know, in the MGM. And we saw the trainer, the coach and the trainer from Mayweather, he come to us. He said, can I put the glove on your fighter? Can I make it? I say, yeah, of course. So this is the way we meet.
That's great.
You know, so, it's difficult for me to say what I do and everything, because I never did for the money. I always do by passion. Right now, I talk with you, you know, my passion is coming out, you know, again. That's why I can talk for hours, you know. But, but you know, the things is all the fighter I had before, the my own fighter or the other fighter I knew or they know me, is a lot of respect. Right. When it's my birthday, I cannot answer everybody. It's so many people, you know, the Rob Kaman, Bas, you know, I call him his birthday, he called me, you know, we're still really close, you know, like Guy Metzger, Frank Shamrock, you know, Jason DeLucia, right. You know. And, you know, this kind of people, then we are very, very close, because before fighters were a family.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely. Not like now. Now they fight. Now, you know, before when my fighter of Bas has to fight, he say, against who? You know? But now, if you have some fighter to fight, they say just, how much is the money? You know? And after the high school is the opponent. It's different time. So I told you, I never see a fighter like Rob Kaman, a second Rob Kaman, or Bas Rutten, a new one. Because Bas, what his specialty was, he was very good on ground and also stand-up fighting. And he was very, very good. And you know, he's a legend. A lot of people ask me and Bas sometimes, you know, when you fought, you could see a big R on his hand.
Yeah.
You remember? Okay, people don't know where it is. Now I can't explain to you. Bas has a big asthma. You know asthma, the sickness?
Yeah.
And when I catch them, I always have this little bottle, you know, in my pocket. And he always say, if I'm not good, please give me something. So, but he never used it. He never knew it. It was really strong. So when he was under the opponent in the ring, he won't go out very fast, very quick, you know. But, you know, it costs you energy. So once I said to him, you know, and he said, so don't go so fast. When you are under, you just sting like that, you know, and he was thinking about this. Yeah. You know, so the R, it means relax. So when he fought, he was under. Then when he sees R, he say, okay. The guy on the top, he say, go ahead, you know, on submission, everything you want. But I wait. So that was the trick of Bas as well, because so he keep his energy. You know,
right.
But he was very, very, very strong, you know, very strong fighters.
And you know, done. Fighter. Done. And,
I so, hope you understand my English.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to interject how important the Dutch and the European fighters and the fight scene was. Not just Bas Rutten, but Sandy Schilt, like you mentioned, who you managed. He trained with Golden Glory Holland, who trained with Alistair Overeem, who became one of the greatest UFC heavyweights and Pride heavyweights of all time. Ernesto Hoost, who I saw in a picture with you, one of the biggest K-1 fighters ever, one of the biggest legends. Jerome LeBanner, another huge legend.
The French.
And Yes,
absolutely. From Bretagne.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Don, my question is, because obviously you grew up as a manager, you were managing during a time where it was all about respect, where you could do a handshake agreement. How was it dealing with Pancras management, especially getting Bas that next great fight, especially after his wars and his legendary bouts with like Funaki and Osami and the Shamrock brothers? What was it like negotiating his next big payday and his next big fight?
Yeah, you know, Pancras is like that. When we had a contract in the beginning, we have a contract for 4 or 5 fights, okay? So the first fight, for example, was for example, $2,000. And then the next one, I have to negotiate because I did it. I tried to get $3,000. That was difficult, but I say, listen, the first fight, Bas won very quick, and you will see the next one. So step by step, we go from $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, you know, and then it was going up, you know. And I remember the last year, Bas, he got about 150,000 at that time, 115, you know. It was not 1.5 million like they have in USA now, you know.
Right.
And don't forget, in that time we don't have the multimedia as now, you know, the Skype, Facebook, everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was different time. So you have to negotiate very hard because the Japanese people are nice people, but they are very hard in dealing, you know. Yeah. And I remember also with Mr. Ishii for the K1, when we decide the price for Rob Command against Champur, the first K1 in Japan, he signed a contract with me, and I have to sign that I don't talk to anybody for 2 years about the price he gave us, Rob Command and I, to fight, because the other fighter get less. But Command was an exception. At that time, was not too much money. For now, but in that time was good money, you know. Right. So, yeah, you know, you have to negotiate there. I remember for the K1, for example, that Ishii is to a restaurant, and I say, "Oh, French restaurant." He say, "Yeah, because you are French." I say, "Oh, okay, but it's nobody." He say, "No, I hired the restaurant for us three to discuss about the contract and about the K1. This is the way he did. This is Mr. Ishii." Mr. Ozaki from Pancras, he was always with Mr. Oitaite, his assistant, you know, and there was a whole team. And the owner was Mr. Ozaki with, in fact, was Funaki and Suzuki, you know. They were the stars from Pancras at that time. And so I had to negotiate always with Mr. Funaki anyway, Ozaki, sorry. And sometimes was hard, but it was negotiable, you know. And you know, like you know, I'm French, and the French can talking, you know. So, right. So you know, it's you have to give and take and give, you know. Sometimes it's better to share with people than to try to get everything for yourself than nothing, you know. So I always been like that. And like I say, I never did really for the big money. I did because my fighter, and every time I make a deal, I always go with my fighters first. And you know, the first time I was with, you know, Sam Schild. I was his manager as well. Sam Schild, Bass Return, Tom Stelling. When Bass and Sam, they had the fight, after that, I have to take the money to the office of Mr. Ozaki.
Right.
What happened? I take my fighters with me, and we go to Mr. Ozaki. He say, oh, no, don't Clovis, Mr. Clovis. You are the manager, only the manager. I said, listen, I have no secret for my fighters. So he give me the money. I send my fighter here and there, and that's it. And this is the way I still do it. I still do, you know, just like that, you know. So they was really surprised. Yeah, so, you know, then because, you know, many managers are so in Europe. I don't tell, you know. But many managers say, you know, they sign contract for 50,000, for example. And you know, they give 30,000 on the fighters, you know. And it's a lot times happen, and it still happen right now, I'm sure about it, you know. So you know, that that's life, but everybody have his own. I have my own philosophy, sorry, and you know, it's just respect the other people, and you have to work with them, you know. So that's it.
Yeah, and that's how deals get done. I think the biggest problem with United States mixed martial arts and modern day mixed martial arts is it's very hard for people. Because now mixed martial arts has money invested in it. Now it's on ESPN. It's streamed all over. There's a lot more money than it was back in the day. So it's a hat trick, and it speaks about you as a manager and your talent, that you're able to get big money deals happening just on a handshake, just by doing good business and just being a good businessman. Because back then, there wasn't a lot of money invested in it, especially with Pinchas nowadays. I mean, that speaks volumes about you as a manager.
The time are changing. Oh. Right now, I will sign a contract with fighters. You know, I never did before, but now I will do. Because it's not because I don't trust the fighters, but I don't trust the people behind. You know, I saw the organization, you know. You know, when I had, I managed to Chicago, you know, from USA, you know.
Yeah.
And when I have Chicago, I was in that time with my, some friends of mine. We go in the Red Rock Hotel in Las Vegas. And I want to meet Dana White to propose Chicago. But, you know, Dana White was busy with, you know, a woman at that time. You know, he was young and eating and everything. He had no time, you know. So, but a few months later, Chicago was there. You know, I did not know anything about that, you know. It's like my fighter, Rob Kaman, he was in, I present Rob Kaman to Jean-Claude Van Damme. And a few months later, he was in his movie for 3-4 movie. You know, this is the... You know, how I can say that, you know, the, what is really important in this kind of business is your connections and your honesty, you know, be honest with people. And that's why I did no contract with my fighter. I trust them and they trust me. You know, I was shaking hands and that's it. But now it's totally different. I will not doing anymore. I think right now I will send a contract, you know, but not a stringing contract, just normal. You know, that that they respect you, I respect them, and that's it. The time is so much different now, you know. And this is what, also what you talk with the big money, I am for, because now I have to do with it, you know, because it's like that, you know. But I think I have enough connection to have a great, I start to be with Big Factor again. And I think that soon you will see, I will come back.
Absolutely. I'm going to come back.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. For sure, because I'm on film and on martial. You know what is good on the martial arts? If I have action film, I can use the guys I saw in my movies. You know? Yeah. And, you know, the most difficult is to find investors and you know, good producer, money producers to your movie, because these days with the corona is very difficult. But this is the most important, is to have a good investor trust you, you know, like my father trusts me. You know, and I'm go for it because it's my passion. You know, music is my passion. You know, I was rock and roll singer. I told you in the 80s and in the 60s. And I saw martial arts and the films. And yeah, what do you want more?
Absolutely. So Don, you worked, obviously, I saw pictures of you with Ron Howard. You worked with Boss Rutten, Jean-Claude Van Damme, actors, fighters, musicians. Who would you say is the easiest to do business with from a business standpoint?
Personally, or fighters versus actors? What are you asking?
Yeah. Fighters versus actors.
You know, the problem is I like both. I love both. Yeah, I can't, I was dealing in petroleum business or so between sometime in the banking business. I can jump from the one to the other one. You know, we can talk about fighting. We can talk about movie and, you know, I'm there, you know, in Jewish, ask me and I will do it. You know, I think I both of them, I love movie, of course, because movie is also on the door, you know, something different. But also, you know, you are fighters. They are retired now, but you can use them in films. Not that actors are fighters are good actors. No. One I know very well is Bass again. Sorry, it's Bass. Because Bass, if you see the movie Here Comes the Bomb with Kevin James, is wonderful. Bass, you know, fighter, actor, model, he's always been a nature talent. That's why I love him like that. You know, it's true. You know, that you know, what people don't know, when he still have hair, he was a photo model. He was model in Holland. You know, he starts his life as model. You know, so to conclude, you know, I think that fighting business and fighters negotiation and films, you know, for me, it's just my work. You know, some people sometimes say, yeah, you do this, you do that, you are wonderful. I say, listen, I am manager, I did my job, but if I don't have the right fighters, I will not be a good manager, because, you know, you have to choose your fighters. You have to choose. You know, when I choose a fighter, I choose not only because he's a good fighter, no, because he's also a friend, you know, and you can feel him. You know, when you feel it, you know, see the charisma of Buzz Ritten, for example, is everybody love him, you know. So, you know, each fighter has his own charisma, but Buzz is for me, you know, and because of Pancras, he and me, we become very, very famous. You know, it was a start for both of us, you know, all over the world, you know, and that's it, opened the door, you know. And by the way, Don is a nickname of mine, because Don is given to me from Paco Rabanne, you know, the perfume?
Yeah.
You know, so this is a point I tell you, because many people ask me all the time. So that's why I ask you, you know. So yeah. I can tell you the story how come. You know, but maybe it's take too long. Yeah? I don't know what time we still have it.
I'd like to ask you at least two more questions, if you don't mind, Don. If you're not too busy, I'd love to ask you two more questions about the Pancras documentary and your favorite memories with Pancras.
Yes. I think young people maybe don't know Pancras really, because Pancras was more in Japan, you know. We developed it a bit in France and everything, you know. To make, when Pancras was totally unknown. So what I did, when Bass or Semi Shield of other fighters, my fighter fight in the ring in Japan, you can see me on the corner sometime, I have a photo camera. So what they fight, I say, they left, did that, you know, but I make picture about that. When the fight, and we go back to Europe, I make each picture, I make 6-7 times, the same picture. I make a report of the fight and everything. And I send it for free to the huge magazine in France, like Karate Bushido and other magazine like that, and in Germany, in Holland. So because they get for free, they push, because nobody knew that, you know? So this is the way I started to try to develop Pancras on my way. Because I never fight. I still practice 40 years type of thing, but I never fight in the ring myself. But it was my marketing way to do it without internet, without in that time, you know. I mean, internet was just a little bit, you know, that's it. But this is the way I develop Pancras and talk everywhere about that. And And my best presentation was Bass. Of course, semi-shield as well, you know, but I talk a lot about Buzz Return and semi-shield because I manage them, but in Europe, in America, we were friends, but they had their own management, you know, but I keep a lot of friends. So Maurice Smith, you know, from America, he was doing Pancras as well, you know, and many people don't know that. And the new generation now in America or all over the world, not many people know about Pancras because Pancras right now is still doing in Japan.
Right.
And they always been doing, you know, and that's it. And I think this is something wrong. They should to develop where, you know, everywhere. And I am for it. If they ask me, I will do. No problem for me, you know. So you know, with our friend Guy Metzger and Bass and Eric Neuhaus, we go that way. We are busy for it and to set up a lot of events all over the world, step by step.
Awesome. So I'll ask you one more question because I don't want to take too much of your time. And I do appreciate you coming on.
I am here for you.
So if there's one takeaway from the new documentary that's coming out, what do you wish that American audiences will take from this documentary? And, you know, as the MMA audience, who all they know is UFC and Bellator and maybe a couple of different other promotions. What is the one takeaway you wish viewers of this documentary will take away from this this presentation of Pancras and how great it was when you were managing Bas Rutten?
Yeah, you know. At first, I think that Pancras, like before, it was a family, like I told you, and the technique of Pancras was so different than now because don't forget that Pancras was no glove.
Yeah.
You know, and the chain protection, the chain stuff, the chain pad, it was very small, but it was more for the show on TV, you know, because they don't allow to do without. So what happened that the technique, the how can I say that? It's difficult to explain, in fact. But, you know, Pancras is a complete job. You know, it's grappling, wrestling, kickboxing, Thai boxing, boxing also, but without glove. Because you do with the power of the hand, you know, but this is stronger than the glove, you know, and that was specialty of Bas was this, you know. So I would say to the young people, watch some fights of Pancras. And you know what I think is, it's not so much blood than many other fighting organizations, because the problem we have in Europe, for example, our governments, they want to block, they want to they want to stop, in fact, the kind of, you know, like UFC, of when it's no blood, you know, this is the problem we have. I love UFC, I love Bellator, I know Scott Coker as well, and, you know, but, you know, what the audience for the kids on TV in Europe is some critics because sometimes we see a lot of blood, you know, and this is what our government, they think about it, you know?
Right.
You know, but for the young people, for Pancras, I think they have to watch something well. You know, in the documentary, we will show, video from Bas and Guy Metzger and you know, the Shamrock Brothers, you know, and the style. But I'm not sure that if we could do the same, you know, without glove, with this, we'd be very good, you know, but... Like I say, the government, you never know how they want to react of this, you know?
Right. And with this documentary, it features all the greats, like Bas Rutten, Guy Mesner, Josh Barnett, all of the greats, Chris Lytle. And to know that you were behind the scenes navigating some of the greats' careers, you know, you're a part of that elite group that helped build the sport to where it is today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, so, I wanted. Yeah. Sure, I wanted because, you know, many people in Europe or in Japan, they don't know American. You know, American, you have a lot. You know, you see always the same fighters. But there are a lot of fighters nobody know, but they are very talented. You know, they are very, very, very strong. And I am busy with the French team already, you know, in France and some guys in Holland, you know, also Croatia, Germany. I'm busy to set a team already, you know. So now we will set up team also in America, and I hope to get some European to go to America to fight, and American to come to Europe and Japan to fight, you know, and to try to develop again the old style from Pancras, you know. And yeah, sure, I will be 500% behind that, for sure.
Absolutely. And Don, I thank you so much for your time and joining us. If you have anything to plug, any upcoming movie projects besides the Pancras documentary, and you know, the floor is yours. I thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I will let you know. And also go to my website.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, joytofilms.com. But I have also donclovis.com, but I have to upgrade, you know, all this stuff, you know. But you know, that then when you see Bass on YouTube, maybe you see about me. And when you go to Bass, you see me as well, you know. So this is family. And I really hope that you will be involved again like that, you know, with something.
Don, I really do appreciate you coming on and, of course, dropping some knowledge and sharing your journey with us. And I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Don.
You're welcome. You know, I can talk for a few hours more, but I keep for next
time. We'll have you back on.
Yeah, okay.
Come back on. Take care. Anytime, Don.
Say hello to and my greetings to all the fans of your website, you know, and fight mixer.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Don. Have a
You're
good
welcome,
night.
You're welcome. Hey, thank you. Thanks a lot.
You too. So that was Don. Oh, my goodness. Again, one of the legendary managers, you know, who helped navigate. Because Japanese was a pretty tricky time. And I think one of the gentlemen we talked to the other night alluded to how tricky it was navigating the Japanese MMA business climate, where here's a deal. Take it or leave it, but here's a gentleman that was able to navigate that and navigate Bas Rutten's career. And where would Bas be with that? You know, he's an amazing talent, but you need a good manager behind you to navigate that career. And Don, you know, again, a part of that elite group that helped build up Pancras because he was able to navigate these talented fighters that helped made that promotion what it was. So it's an honor to talk to him. Blew my mind.
Yes, sir. Before we do go, I want to thank again Fight Labs for sponsoring the show. And if you're in need of any supplements, they're the place to go to.
Can't wait.
So
what's right, on the agenda for Thursday, my man?
Well, let me see here. Let me pop it up. I need to get my glasses. I can't read.
Tom Awardy, Andre Lowell, and kind of C fighter John Birdsong will be on the good old program on Thursday. We're going to have Chris Lytle come back. Is that correct?
Well, give me a second here. I think that might be actually 2 weeks out.
Weeks out. Okay, perfect. We're going to have a badass show for 2 weeks in a row. That's crazy. Eric Anders, Isaac Flagg, and a gentleman that's going to be fighting in BKFC, Bare Knuckle Fighting. I want to pick his brain, especially about the rules of bare knuckle fighting and making that transition from mixed martial arts to bare knuckle fighting. So, you know, yes. I want to educate.
Alvin Leo Brito.
Yeah, Leon. We're going to have Alvin Leon Brito on the podcast. So definitely talk about Eric and Isaac's career in the UFC, and also talk to Ivan, who's going to be fighting in bare knuckle fighting, which I think bare knuckle fighting is also a new concept to people. And I can't wait to. Him and I are going to help educate people about not only his journey, but about how great bare knuckle fighting really is. So I can't wait for that lineup.
I definitely like it. So look forward to getting back on here on Thursday and talking to all these guys.
Who's our guest? So Chris Lytle's coming back?
Yeah, maybe. I know he's coming back on the show, but when, I'm not sure. We're still working that out. So
can't wait to talk to him again.
I'm trying to talk him into coming in on Thursday coming up, but. He's kind of busy with all the stuff that's going on. So,
correct. Absolutely. So from all of us at Fight Mixer, I appreciate you coming on for this special presentation. We had a podcast Thursday, Friday, which was like 4 hours, which I don't mind talking about MMA, so it was no bigger for me. And also Sunday, we talked to the legendary Don, who came on to talk about movies, MMA, but most importantly, this Pancras documentary, which I'll plug it until it finally comes out. And I can't wait for this documentary to educate folks of how beautiful the Japanese MMA scene was. And it all started with promotions like Pancras. So thank you very much from all of us at Fight Mixer, our wonderful producer, Matt. And we'll see you on Thursday night.
Peace.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.
What's going on, fight fans? This is El Bandido of Leon Brito getting some work done out here on the field. Check out my interview with Fight Mixer on the 23rd. We're going to be talking about my upcoming BKFC fight on the 26th. It's coming up real soon, guys. I will see you there.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boy, Eric Anders, and I can't wait to join all you fight fans on the Fight Mixer podcast.